Well, physically, it means an addition of 54,000 square feet on 3.5 levels. We'll be going one level lower underground than we currently are. This will house our technical services area as well as a high-density storage area for some of the lesser used but very important from a research standpoint materials. Then moving on up to the next level will enlarge our capacity in the Alaska and Polar Regions Department to house our archives, rare books, manuscripts, and then what is known as a premier Alaska collection in the world. Our Alaska collection will be housed on that level. On the next level up then, I hesitate here because we're disjointed as far as numbering the floors with going a level lower in the addition. Moving up then to our current level 2, as we expand out on current level 2, that will house our media services area, bringing together all of the various technologies as well as the major distribution functions that will be housed up on level 3. This area then will be referred to as the Instructional Media Production and Communication Technology Department, very fitting from the standpoint of the age of technology into which we have already moved.
Sounds like we're going to get quite a lot in the way of new facilities and new services. Is this true?
Yes, that is true. As we envision the current main level, it will be completely remodeled. We'll be going out about half the distance as the other new part on the current main level. Here we'll have a one-stop shopping area for all of the materials that we house in the library and that we have available for people to use. We're referring to this as our distribution unit. It will be part of the Instructional Media Production and Communications Technology Department. What we'll have here is the head-end capability for the campus cable system. We'll have the Fairbanks node of the university computer network. We'll have an independent study center. We'll have a significantly expanded research and reference assistance area, as well as one of my major areas of interest, and that will be a collection development suite. We go to real lengths to assure that what we acquire is what's needed that will support the research and instructional programs. For the first time, we'll be having a specifically designated collection development suite. It's in this suite that we'll be housing our new materials that are here for preview, whether they're print, 16mm film, videotape, video cassette, whatever will be in there for preview.
Do we need this new space?
We need the new space quite badly. If you were to walk through the building during the day and during the evening, you'll see that students are hunting for seats. You'll see that we have no more space to expand our stacks into. And what this space will also do is allow us to bring the media component over from the 42 or so year old Eielson building. The media component is operating out of facilities that are grossly inadequate, and they'll be moved into this facility. This is referred to, has been referred to from the beginning as phase one. Phase two will go up an additional 3 floors, complete level 3, and then go up an additional 3 floors. Structurally, fortunately, this addition is designed to accept 3 additional levels. We are anticipating moving ahead with phase two after other critical space needs have been addressed on campus, and we have other very critical space needs, as everyone knows, in the area of dorms and the major facility up on the West Ridge and some instructional space. Phase two, we don't know when it'll be coming. It'll be coming depending on how the funding comes for some of the other critically needed facilities.
Let's go back to the lowest level of this new facility. It sounds like something new. What does it mean? What does it mean to us?
Until we have phase two, the decision was to house our technical services unit. This is the unit that actually acquires materials, catalogs materials, and makes it ready for use. The decision was to house it down in that area. That will occupy roughly half of the space down there. The other half will simply be high-density compact shelving. If you've seen the compact shelving up in the museum building, It'll be shelving comparable to that. Our major backgrounds way back of some of the periodicals, for instance, will be stored down there as faculty and researchers, graduate students, whatever, need those materials. They'll be free to go down there and work through back runs. But from the standpoint of the average request for those materials, we'll have that material available within 12 to 18 hours or so. What this does is helps keep the working collection more of a manageable size. People do not have to go through so much material that they don't need to get at what they're at. We may have a cutoff point of 7 years, 10 years, we don't know yet, in our periodical collection, meaning whatever is older than the 7 years or 10 years would go down there. Again, maintaining the size then of the current collection to be more workable for the average student.
What's additional space does it need more staff?
We have a request as part of the fiscal 85 budget for what we call sufficient to open the doors. That includes 6 1/2 additional positions. We consider these positions to be absolutely essential to opening the doors for this kind of a facility. Yes.
I've jumped around quite a bit. Is there any question I haven't asked? You think I should?
Do we have 5 minutes worth of material?
No, we have more than 5 minutes.
Okay, let me think just a minute.
Sure.
The library, like all parts of the university, had a very humble beginning. President Bunnell solicited subscriptions for materials back in the early days, back in the 20s. The first home of the library was in Old Main. Many of the listeners remember Old Main. It occupied 3 rooms in Old Main. In 1931, the old museum, what we refer to now as the old museum, was constructed. Level one was constructed as a gymnasium. Then in 35, the temporary roof put on in 31 was taken off. Level 2 was built, and that served as the library then until the Bunnell Building was built in 1958. It was in 1959 that the library moved into the spacious, beautiful new quarters in the Bunnell Building. Then groundbreaking for the current library building, Rasmussen Library, was May 3rd, 1967, with a dedication then exactly 3 years to the day later, May 3rd, 1970, for the current building, which is 112,000 square feet. We have a very functional facility. We are anticipating the opportunity to demonstrate what an information access program really is all about in support of, and I need to emphasize this, in support of the academic and research programs here at the university. It's tailored specifically to that, attempting to merge the best of the old with the best of the new in service to the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus.
Sounds good. One other quick question. Right now, the library is the largest in the state with roughly 1.25 million resource items. This new, and I know you're packed now, how much additional information will you be able to store? Will you be able to double the amount you're carrying, 50% increase?
The emphasis in phase one was to expand the space for the Alaskan Polar Regions Department to do justice, secondly, to the instructional media production and communications technology area, and third, to allow for the integration of previously separated functions. So many of the print functions belong integrated with the non-print functions and services, and we're using the addition as an opportunity to do that. We're interested in material without regard to format. We're interested in material that will, whatever the format, will best address the needs. The addition with the emphases we've given it in phase one will allow us primarily on sublevel one, the ability to house a significant amount of additional materials. We think in terms of conventional materials when we think of that kind of housing. We also will be getting at an ever-increasing number of volumes through electronic means as we have greater ability to search computer databases nationally, as we develop our own Alaska-oriented databases We'll have access to information in quantities that the building could never house, even if it were three times the present size.
One last question. Why does the university need one?
Well, you're asking the wrong person for that response, Steve. The university needs a library because it is the heart of everything that pertains to the academic and research programs. Now, that's an overly simplistic answer, but the university needs a library because this is where the interaction occurs beyond what can happen in the classroom. Never minimize the activity in the classroom. Never minimize the activity in the research labs. But beyond that, and those are short time segment exposures to the knowledge process. Beyond that, this is where the resources are located. This is where the help is to move beyond that, to support that. We talk here about the world of data, the world of information, and we're concerned that we have precisely the data and information needed for this university. But that is only half the story. The data and information exist. It's knowledge on the part of the student that we're after. So there really is this bridging effect that needs to occur, bridging activity that needs to occur between the data or information and the knowledge. And we like to think that we play a very major support role in that process here at the university.